Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Thank you. You can be seated. Please sit down. Thank you. You know, I was sitting over here and listening to you, sister. I told your husband, man, you know what? I could just sit here and just listen to her for the whole service. In just a couple of minutes, she was just preaching and preaching and preaching, and I was receiving and receiving. You know, one of the things that you said this morning was expand. And it's actually part of my notes, so I gotta have to change my notes now because I was gonna talk about it. But you know what? I've said this. You know, when it comes to evangelism, that's not expansion, okay? Simply put, evangelism, it's sharing the good news. And many ministers think that expansion is when the church gets bigger. That's not the case. Expansion is when you get bigger. See, expansion isn't for the building. The expansion is for you. That word that she gave was for you. When you expand, then the church will expand. See, God wants you to expand so you can do great things. So that your expansion can lead to great things for Him. So that's what expansion is. So don't think that expansion is filling the seat. It's not. Expansion is look at it for yourself. That's something that God gives you. That you're so big that people want to know, what is it? How did you get to that point? Then it leads to evangelism. You know, I've been married my entire life. I've known my wife since I was a young 12 years old. We've been married over 40 years. My wife's name is Judy. She's my inspiration. And, you know, I speak all over the world, all over the country. And we, you know, taught leadership classes at some of the top universities. You know, sometimes people will look at me and say, your IQ is too low that aligns with who you are. That's exactly how God wants it to work. You see, your dream should never align with who you are. Your dream should be 1,000 times bigger than who you are. Somebody said, you will never get into Harvard with your IQ. I'm not trying to get into Harvard. I'm going to heaven. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that I speak at Harvard? Did I tell you that I speak at Notre Dame? Some of the top universities in the country. I'm not trying to get in there. I'm a teacher there. There's a difference. So guess what? Keep your IQ to yourself. I don't need it. I've got something better. What is that? I got this book from your pastor, Wisdom. This is so true. Put it simply, listen to me. You said that I was family, right? So I'm going to talk to you the way your father would, your grandfather, your brother, your somebody who loves you. You know, they were doing a background check on me once for a high-level political position. And they said, we got to do a background check. I said, background check? Well, how far back do you go? And I remember the first question on that, whatever application was, this is a true story. It says, have you or anyone in your family ever done anything that would embarrass the governor of California? First thing I thought is, man, I'm Mexican. Everybody has that one uncle. And if you say you don't have that one uncle, guess what? You're probably that one uncle. So I'm probably that one uncle, so I'm going to talk to you like that. So back to the word wisdom. Listen to me. Wisdom, the wisdom of God, separates you from the knowledge of man. The wisdom of God separates you from the knowledge of man. So again, I am so blessed to be here. I'm going to try to share everything that God has for you. You know, I wanted to come here for the longest time because God had given me a message for this particular body. Not for somebody else, but it was for somebody here. And I've learned in my life that I'm going to go where God wants me to go. If I'm to speak to one person or 10,000, I got to go. I don't look at the numbers. You know, when the COVID had hit, we were traveling the world. Then all of a sudden, it just stopped. And we started to go to Zooms, which was really different because I like to interact with the audience. And then speaking to a camera, you know, you could be telling a joke and don't know if anybody's laughing. But, you know, we realized that for me, it was actually a good thing because we were speaking to hundreds of thousands. I found myself, you know, speaking to millions over the past year. You know, a couple of months ago, we did a Zoom, and we were transported to seven different countries, seven different languages, and one Zoom. I mean, I had to do it at 4 o'clock in the morning because that was the best time for everyone. But still, I thought about it. If God could take me to seven different countries in one moment, excuse me, the world, what can God do for me? You see, you should be amazed by the technology of the world. It should amaze you. And then step into the technology of God. If God can do that for them, God, what can you do for me? And you'll find yourself traveling, doing tremendous things. So I am blessed. So there are three things that I'd like to do today. And the first is I want to inspire you. And the word inspire simply means to breathe life. And aren't you happy when somebody comes into your life and they, you know, they give you a word of encouragement, a handshake, a hug, and they inspire you? That's life. You know, maybe for a moment, but it's still life. And the second thing I want to do is I want to encourage you. And what does it mean to encourage someone? It simply means to take courage and plant it in somebody's deepest being that they stand up and they're never the same again. Young people, stay away from people who discourage you and hang out with people who encourage you. And the last thing that I want to do is I want to remind you. Remind you of what? I want to remind you of the value that you are to your family, to the community, to this church. The value that you are to God. As a young man, you know, I was always taught that my value was tied into my bank account. That kind of showed me that I had zero value. Because my bank account was zero. But that's the furthest from the truth. Your value isn't tied into your bank account. If you really want to put something on your value, associate it with how you give to the community, your service. The more you do for your brothers and sisters and humanity, the greater your value is. So, you know, I'm going to share my testimony with you, which I hardly ever do. You know, but again, God wants to do something here. You know that I am here as in the office of a prophet, okay? My title is, I am the Bishop of Business. Why are you the bishop of business? Because I've created businesses that are in the billions of dollars. And God wants to line you up into that place. God needs you to be a millionaire. I don't know how many millionaires are here, but if you want to get on that list, get ready. A lot of times, ministers will say this. Now remember, I'm that uncle, okay? So don't be offended by what I say. Receive it and you'll get blessed. You see, a lot of times ministers will say, God is getting ready to bless you next. That's not true. God doesn't get ready to do anything. He's already done it. And then when it comes to the word next, understand this. You're not next if you're not in position. When you're at Target, ready to pay, you get in line, right? You're next when? When you're in position. You see, God is laying out all these blessings, and He's calling you to be next. He's calling you to be next. Your job is to position yourself, to get into that position that here I am. Because if you're not, it's going to go right by you. I learned that quickly. I learned that, you know what? No one was going to bless me. I had nothing to offer anyone. Why would anyone want to invest in me? They couldn't see anything great. When everyone saw a janitor, God saw a minister. When everyone saw a janitor, God saw an executive. When everyone saw a broke janitor, God saw a millionaire. So you have to position yourself to receive it. God has something for you. It's already there. I created Hot Cheetos, but it was always there. That's why I say, with God, all you need is one revelation. Remember this, one revelation to create a revolution. And God loves to use things. Okay, don't be so religious, or don't be a Pharisee where you don't see that God can use things. You can read in the book of Acts how God used Paul's handkerchief to heal people. It was a thing. You and I are greater than a thing. You and I are greater than that. But God wants to use you to heal people, to do things. And let Him use that something in your life. What is it? I don't know. That's for you and Him. But there's something in your life that God wants to use. He wants to give you a revelation that'll create a revolution. For me, it was Hot Cheetos. You know, I've been married with Judy for, I think it's like 42 years, but we've known each other. And when I do share that with universities, there's always a few students that'll say, dang, that's a long time. I'm not even 20 years old. You guys been married 40-some years? Mr. Montanez, do you guys ever argue? Do you guys still fight? I'm like, oh, we still argue. But Judy told me this. Judy told me a long time ago. She said this. Said, Richard, I was with you when you had nothing. I ain't leaving now. And I said this. Because of my grandma, my mom, and my wife, I would take the leadership of a woman any day. Not too many things can match up to the leadership of a woman. You know, like I said, my wife is my inspiration. She is my teacher. And I've said this 1,000 times, and I will say it till the day I die. But I believe with all my heart that when God created women, He was showing off. So I'll be married until the day I die. And the other thing that I want to share with you before I get into my testimony is that, you know, everything that I've learned from the hood. Okay? I'm from the hood. My leadership is from the hood. You know, a lot of times, and I'm still ghetto. As much as I try to act proper, the ghetto-ness will come out. You know, and some, a lot of times people say, Richard, you are so ghetto. Yeah, but I'm ghetto rich. So God can use you no matter where you come from. One day God was looking for somebody that was in trouble. Somebody that was so empty that he could fill him up. And there I was, like a knucklehead, just walking. And God found me, cleaned me up, delivered me from drugs, delivered me from violence. I had no idea what he had for me. You know, I quit school at a young age. I couldn't read or write. I've written 2 books. There's a movie coming out about me and my wife that'll be out next year, telling the story. I have more than I ever dreamed I would have. Really, I do. I had never dreamed that I would have this. My dreams was I wanted a little apartment. I wanted to work for the city. I wanted nothing big, just enough to get by. But God isn't the God of enough. God doesn't want you to have enough. God wants you to have more than enough. God wants you to be an extravagant giver. Your generosity, I've seen your generosity. You are a generous, extravagant, giving church. And you know what that is? It simply means giving of yourself. It's not an amount. It's an act. So one day, you know, I picked grapes for a living. I worked at a chicken ranch. I worked at a car wash. And then one day, my friend rose up at the car wash. Hey, they're hiring at Frito-Lay. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, just think if I could get a job at Frito-Lay. They have benefits there. I've never had benefits. I never had health insurance. Never had that. Benefits. Wow, I can start my legacy. I could change the legacy for the Montanez family. So I went and got an application. I said, can I take it home? Because I couldn't read or write. That's the truth. But understand this. I didn't stay there. God didn't leave me where he found me. I'm probably the most uneducated, brilliant person you will ever meet. So I took the application and Judy filled it out. And I took it back the next day. And I was nervous. Because there were some things on there that, you know. Don't look at me like that. Who hasn't lied on a resume? So he's looking at it. And he's looking at me and he goes, did you fill this out? I said, yes. And he said, you have nice handwriting. I was like, oh, I've been stealing Judy's credit ever since. So he says, you know what? You can start tonight, the graveyard shift, as a janitor. I was so happy. $3.40 an hour. So I went to tell my dad and my grandfather. I got the job. My grandfather told me something that I really believe it's next to God is the reason for my success. He said, when you mop that floor, you make sure that it shines, that people know that a Montañez mopped it. For the young people in the room, as much as I love Frito-Lay and Pepsi, brothers and sisters, it was never about them. It was always about my last name. Compensation is good. You want to be welcome. Compensated, but if you do it for those reasons, it's the wrong reasons. Do it for your last name. Do it for who you represent, and he'll make sure your compensation is equal with what you give out. So I got the job, and I was, you know, mopping and, you know, doing the best I can. I was just so happy, and things were going great, you know, $3.40, benefits, you know, I mean, like, I'm doing great. All of a sudden, they shut the plant down. And I thought, uh-oh, they never do that. Something's happened. And I think we're probably going to get laid off, you know. And they put on this video because that was a communications. There was no email. There was no, It was just a video, and here comes this new CEO. And the CEO says that, hey, Frito-Lay's in trouble. We're losing market share. And he said, my executives can't do it. I'm empowering you. I'm empowering you to act like an owner. And I heard that. And everybody around said, Richard, he's not talking to you. And I just said, didn't you just hear what he said? He said that I can act like the janitor can act like an owner. Didn't you hear what God just said? He's empowered you to be royalty. Oh, but he's not talking to you, sister. He's not talking to you, brother. He's talking exactly to you. So I got a hold of that. I'm like, oh, I'm going to act like an owner. I didn't know what that meant. I really didn't. You know, so I went home and I told Judy, I said, Judy, the new CEO said we're in trouble. He said, act like an owner. And Judy said, well, act like an owner. He said, okay, I didn't really know what that went. So the next day I went to the sales office and I found a salesman who was loading the truck and I walked up to him and I said, hey, can I go with you? Will you teach me the business? I want to learn. I'll load the truck up. I'll do all the work. Just, you know, and he said, yeah, sure. He goes, come on your day off. So my first day off, 5 o'clock in the morning, there I was, I met him. He taught me how to write an order, how to pick an order, to fill up the truck so we could maximize the space on the truck. Then he taught me how to run a route so that we could maximize and minimize our fuel. Then when we got to the store, he taught me how to merchandise, you know, how to put the product in there. This is a long, long time ago. Remember, I said God can use a thing, if you allow him and if you're looking for it, if you stand up and take your position, if you position yourself to become next, it's not going to come to you, brothers and sisters. It's not going to come to you. You got better chances of winning the lottery than getting what God has for you if you don't position yourself. It's as simple as that. Position yourself. So there we were, loading it up. I looked. There it was, a revelation. What's a revelation? Something that was always there, and God revealed it to me. It was always there. And I looked at him. He couldn't see it. You know why he couldn't see it? Because he was an expert. Don't become such an expert that you can't see things anymore. The people that work, I've had 50,000 employees, the people that work for me, I tell them, don't bring me ideas everybody can see. Bring me ideas no one can see. Tap into the unseen and pull it into the scene. You and I, brothers and sisters, have more access to the unseen than anyone else. So I saw it. What did I see? I saw the spice rack. I saw people buying spices, bags of chili. Then I looked at our products, and here it is. Lay's, Ruffles, Fritos. Maybe sour cream. Lay's, Ruffles, Fritos. Maybe sour creams. And I thought, pretty boring. Where are the spices? Where are the flavors for people? And I got it. I'm going to create a spicy chip. Ridiculous. Big deal. A spicy chip. So I went home and I told Judy. I said, Judy, Judy's a wonderful cook. I said, Judy, we're going to take your chili, your sauce, and we're going to put it on chips. She said, okay. What chip? I don't know. Got to figure that one out. She said, okay, when you get it, let me know. I said, Judy is that partner. You know that one that you say, that road dog? She's from the hood, too. She's just as ghetto as me. She's beautiful and proper, but she's just, you know what, I have to remain. Come on, sister, you know we're both from the hood. You know, so she rolls with me. She rolls with her man. That's why I tell you, you know what, brothers, if you're single and you're looking for a wife, find a godly woman. Because a godly woman can take a man with nothing and transport him into a man with something. Marry a godly woman. People say, why are you so successful? Because I married the boss's daughter. So I needed to figure that out. So, you know, we went to, I'd go grocery shopping, this one store. I thank God for neighborhood stores. I didn't have a bank account. So he would cash my check and I'd buy the groceries there. Bought our groceries, stepped outside, and there was a young man with his two kids and his wife, and he was selling corn on a cob on a stick, elotes. And there he was every weekend, so happy. You know, nobody told him, hey, you're just a street vendor. He acted like he had a five-star restaurant. He inspired me by the way he was just, hi, how are you? What would you like? You know, I said, yeah, let me have two, one for me and my son. You know, like a five-star restaurant. And for a buck, I don't know what it is now, but back then it was a buck. He'd put whatever you want on it, chili. And then, God, he was just so, I wish I could see him, man. You know, he taught me so much just by watching his work ethics. And then, so I took a bite. I took a second bite. I got a revelation. What's a revelation? Something that was always there, but has been revealed to you. I looked and go, oh, that looks like a Cheeto. What if I put chili on a Cheeto? How spiritual is that? Man, they're probably going to make me a pastor. They're probably going to, you know, I'm going to hang out with the Pope with something like that. Pretty ridiculous. But many times, never forget this. Greatness will come in a ridiculous form. So I ran inside and I told my partner, Judy. I said, Judy, I got it. We're going to put it on Cheetos. She said, okay. Go to the plant the next day and bring some Cheetos with no cheese. Because, you know, we needed them plain. So I got a trash bag. And I put a bunch in there and I walked out the plant like this. Remember, I told you I was ghetto. But ghetto rich. So I walked out and, you know, brought them home. And after a while, you know, she mixed up the batch and we got it just right. She took some to her work. I took some to my work. Everybody said the same thing. This is great. Tell Richard he's got to call the CEO. Well, this is during when corporate America was a command and control. What is the command and control? Simply that. I command, I control. I didn't hire you to think. I hired you to do what I tell you to do. They had not heard the word empowerment yet. Matter of fact, some corporations still don't understand what empowerment is. And I know because I've spoken to some of the biggest companies in the world. I mentor and counsel some of the top CEOs of the world. So you don't do that. Protocol. Yours truly doesn't know any better. You know, I never went to high school. I don't have a GED. But I got a PhD because I've been poor, hungry, and determined. So we get it, I go, and I find the phone book. Remember, that's the communication. It's a little phone book, and it had everybody's name in it, so I found the CEO. So I remember I called the number, and in those days, we were in every country that the government will allow us. So only the president of one of the brands would call the CEO. So the president of Frito-Lay Russia would call the CEO, president of China, Pepsi would call, or Gatorade, whoever it was. It was just the president calling the CEO. So here's how the conversation was, and it was his executive assistant, Patty. She's still my friend today. She's been retired for many years, still my friend. So how the conversation goes. Hi, this is Richard Montanez. Can I talk to the CEO? And she says, well, I don't recognize the name. What division do you run? So I work in California. Oh, you're the vice president of California? No, I work in Southern California. Oh, you're the vice president of SoCal? No, I work in the plant. Okay, you're the vice president of operations. No, I work inside and side. The plant director? No, plant manager. What are you, janitor? And I said, you know, I saw the CEO's video and he said, act like an owner. And by the way, I was employee of the month 2 months in a row. And she said, give me a minute. You know, I've learned this, brother and sister. Understand this, okay? Is I'm not trying to influence everyone. Some people are trying to influence the whole. I'm not trying to influence everyone. Only the right ones. Because when it's the right ones, I'm a blessing to you and you're a blessing to me. If not, I move on. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I'm not going to sit here and try to argue that God exists, that God is all power. I'm not going to do that. So I'm not trying to influence everyone. Only she was one of the right ones. Because what did she do? Took the call and she told the CEO. I know she did. You need to get on this call. You said him, act like an owner. Here's a guy doing it. Because when the CEO got on, he was so excited. Richard, I hear you got an idea for me. And I began to tell him the only way I knew how. Leadership from the hood. We speak the truth in the hood. So I began to tell him, hey, you know, some of the stuff you have is, you know, it's for a certain group, man. But what about the people that love this? And he goes, you're right. I'll be there in 2 weeks. Hung up the phone. I was floating. I did it. He's coming to see me. Oh, but this time, protocol goes into action. What's protocol? I don't know. Goes into action. They call the president, who calls the senior vice president, calls the area vice president, calls the director, calls the plant manager. Conversation's all the same. Who let the janitor call the CEO? Who's this Richard guy? 20 minutes go by. Here comes the plant manager looking for me. He found me. Just starts ripping me apart. Now, this is during a time when they can do that. It's not allowed now. I mean, you look at somebody wrong and they go to HR. But in my days, man, you took it all. You took it like a man, or, you know, I mean, whatever it was, you know, I'm not going to debate it. He let me have it. And he says this, you're doing the presentation. I'm not. He walked away and I thought, I'm doing the presentation? I've never even done homework. So I remember I walk into the door and Judy can see something was wrong because I was scared. And she goes, what's the matter? I go, I'm going to get fired. She's going to get fired. Why? Because you told me to call the CEO. Typical leadership of a woman. She says this, calm down. It's not that bad. We're going to go to the library and check out a book on how to develop a marketing strategy. We did that. There was no Google. There was none of that. We went to the library, checked out 3 books. I got 1 book, and I actually copied 3 paragraphs. What did those 3 paragraphs mean? I don't know, but they sounded really good. So I put them on transparencies. I went and bought my first chai for $3.50. I made 100 bags, me and my family. I'm a little bit of a artist, not much, but I designed the graphics. I bought some industrial, like sandwich bags, but they were industrial. The only thing I needed to do was I needed to seal it. How am I going to seal it? Well, innovation. Remember, innovation can come from anywhere, any place, especially from the hood. So I said, with the plancha, the iron. Ain't that good? Good things come from the hood, right? So there we were. We made 100 bags, and at the right temperature, oh. By the time I was done, you couldn't tell. It looked like it was ready for the market. So I got my 100 bags. My tie, my neighbor had made it into a knot the night before, so I just put it on and put it up. There I was, got my transparencies. I'm walking out. And Judy does 3 things for me. This is where I get it from. Inspire, encourage, and remind. I'm walking out the door. She inspired me. She said, Richard, I don't know anybody smarter than you. And I'm looking at her like, wow, that's my wife saying that. And then she said, Richard, I don't know anybody who has as much courage as you. That's my wife, and she's encouraging me. And then she reminded me. She said, never forget who you are. Never forget who you serve. Never forget what your grandpa and your dad taught you. She inspired me, encouraged me, and reminded me. That's her sermon that I stole. So I'm walking out there, and I'm just, you know, when you do that, brothers and sisters, to the people that you love, the people that work for you, inspire and encourage, man, they believe they could do anything. So I got to the plant, and it was full. Everybody was there. From headquarters, you know, the chief marketing officer, every chief was there. And guess what? I learned leadership. In a room like that, there's 2 types of leaders. In this room, there's 2 types of leaders. You're one or the other. don't blame me if you're not the one, the good one, but you're one or the other. The leadership of a Pharaoh. What is that? Pharaohs take people captive to build everything in their image. Everything looks like them. Everything sounds like them. Guess what? Everything is about them. Then there's the leadership of the deliverer. What do? They help deliver you to be everything that God intended you to be. So I walked in the room, nothing but Pharaohs. Everybody's looking at me like, why am I even here? What is this uneducated janitor going to teach me? So I was pretty scared. Got my transparencies, put it up. Oh, it's upside down. Turn it around. It's still upside down. Finally, I got it. And I did it. The uneducated janitor had their attention. And then a hand went up. Question. I knew it then. I literally turned around and looked the other way. And he said, hey, Richard, I got a question. I was like, oh. First thing I thought, Judy didn't get me ready for questions. So I turned around. I said, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have time for questions. And he said, it's just a simple one. But brothers and sisters, I want you to prepare for this. I don't care what room you're in. There's always somebody in that room is going to try to steal your destiny. Your job is to be ready not to allow it to happen. So I said, okay, what's the question? Sounds great, Richard, but how much market share are we talking about? I almost fainted. I said, market share? We haven't read that chapter yet. There was a door. Exactly, I was facing that way, and I thought, you know what? I'm just going to run out that door. After all, I shouldn't be here anyways. I'm just going to go. You know, who do I think I am? You know, but there was something inside of me that was greater than what was outside of me. Let me take you to a place. Many times I've said this. Sometimes in order to find your future, you got to revisit your past. Your past, good or bad, is there to help sustain your future. Accept it. So go back. Raised in a labor camp during desegregation. Never was old enough to have an impact on the movement, but I was old enough that the movement had an impact on me, because guess what? They picked 8 kids from an all Spanish-speaking area. It was a labor camp to go across town to an English school. So I remember, you know, Mama's getting her oldest son ready for school, which is me, and I'm crying. And Mama says, Chion, ¿por qué lloras? Cry, baby, why are you crying? Porque no quiero ir a esa escuela, because I don't want to go to that school. Mama says, ¿por qué no, mijo? Why not, son? Porque todos hablan inglés, because everybody speaks English. Mama, why are you doing this to me? I can't speak English. You know what people tell me today? Richard, you still can't speak English. So my uncle takes me. There's 8 of us, and we're waiting for you. Here comes the bus. I'm going to close with this. I got 10 minutes. Here comes the bus, the yellow bus. There goes the yellow bus. They didn't stop. You should have seen 8 happy kids. And all the adults are like, oh, what happened? And I remember I told my uncle, I said, Tio, I know what happened. He said, what? It's a Mexican holiday. We don't have to go to school today. Then all of a sudden, we looked and we heard this loud pop. To my amazement, it really was my amazement, even as a little boy, I saw the ugliest green bus you can imagine coming to pick us up. And I told my uncle, I don't want to ride that ugly thing. Why can't I get on the green bus, on the yellow bus, like the other kids? I want to be like them. This is a bus they sent. You know, it wasn't until I was an adult that it just dawned on me, just hit me. I finally realized it. It was society of the day and time saying, you know what? Let's take this group of kids right here, put them on this ugly green bus, parade them across town to show everybody and them they're not good enough to be on the yellow bus. Simple as that. Well, guess what a child will do in an environment like that? You take that on. I don't speak the language very good. I'm not, you know, I'm a little dark. I'm not the color that seems to be the right color. And then I'm on this green bus, so yeah, I'm having a problem with myself. I don't like myself. So we get to school. don't understand what the teacher's saying, trying my hardest. But there's one sound that's international. Every child knows this sound. The sound of the recess bell. I knew what that meant. Lunchtime. Nobody had to. I didn't need an interpreter. I got it. Lunchtime. So we stayed together. We got our lunch. You know, it was the 60s. Got our lunch and sat down, pulled out my lunch. Everybody's staring at me. Grabbed my lunch and put it back. Why do you think everybody was staring at me? Because it was a burrito. You got to remember, this was the 60s. The world hadn't seen a burrito yet. Contrary to popular belief, Taco Bell didn't introduce the burrito to the world. Me and my mom did. But the truth was, struggling with English, riding that green bus, being this color, everybody staring at my lunch, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed of who I was. So I went home and I told my mom, and I'm yelling at mom. I said, Mama, hazme un bologna sandwich con un cupcake como los otros. I said, Mama, make me a bologna sandwich and a cupcake like the other kids, because I don't want to be different. But the leadership of a woman, Mama being a marketing genius, she said, no, mijo, this is who you are. So the next day she made me two burritos. And she said, here's one for you and here's one to share with a friend. So Wednesday was my burrito nightmare. Thursday, I shared a burrito with a friend. Friday, I was selling burritos for 25 cents a piece. Here's what I realized. There's a revelation that changed my life. That as much as I wanted to fit in, God showed me I never created you to fit in. I created you to stand out. That's why right now you can look at your life and you can even say you've never been able to fit in. Because you're not intended to fit in, brother. Sister, you're intended to stand out. So I got a hold of that. I fell in love with myself. Because when you fall in love with yourself, there's a freedom to be yourself. So back to the question. How much market share are we talking about? I knew that I'm never going to fit into this group. I have to be myself. So with the most ridiculous smile, I remember, you know, the rags. We call them gondolas. I remember how big they were. Ridiculous. I said, I got it. This much market share. And I can hear the executives in marketing and sales, well-educated men and women. Did he just say that much market share? A couple of giggles, laughters, weird stares. But it just so happens that of all the pharaohs, there was two deliverers in the room. One of them was the CEO. The CEO stood up and said, ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that Richard just showed us how to go after that much market share? The vice president of sales was in the room, and he told his sales, you guys think we can get that market share? That ridiculous statement made me a legend in my company. But more importantly, that ridiculous statement showed me how God takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And for you today, is letting you know, if you're not willing to look ridiculous, you will never achieve your greatness. So there's some ridiculous ideas that you have. There's some ridiculous dreams that you have. That's what God wants to do. And I'm here to help release them. I'm here to deliver you. Not to deliver you from something, but to deliver you to something. I'm here to help you position you into the next spot. God needs you to be financially independent. God needs you to be the person that can write the check. I always said, God, let me be the guy that writes the check. Let me be the guy that writes the check. I'll do it. Remember this, God can get it to you. The problem is, can he get it through you? So as I close, I want to invite those of you who are looking to start a business, Or maybe you already have a business and it's not doing good. Or maybe you have these crazy and wild dreams. Or maybe you don't even know who God is, who I'm talking about. Now's your opportunity. I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you're looking to start a business, raise your hand, not so that I could see it, but that God can see it. Remember, we're talking about being positioned next. That's why I love to see basketball. When they go for a rebound, man, those players, they're positioning themselves. It's like, man, I want that. There's nothing pushing them out. They're using all their strength, everything that they trained for, to position themselves. That's what I want you to do right now. Position yourself to be next for what God has. Some of you are going to walk away with nothing because you failed to even just do this. He's just telling stories. He's not. Why take a chance, brothers and sisters? Why take a chance? Everything that I have is because I believed. If the minister said it, I believed it. If he was lying, that was on him, because to me it was truth. You understand what I just said? To him it was a lie, but to me it was truth. And God was said, I'm going to honor it regardless of who he is. I'm going to honor it because of who they are. If you're looking to open a business, once again, raise your hand. If you have a dream, if you want to be financially secure, raise your hand. Let's even make it funny. Let's even give it, it's not even a challenge, but let's just make it a statement. Those of you who want to be a millionaire, raise your hand. Coming from one to another one. Remember, I'm going to help deliver you to something. It's already there. Hot Cheetos was always there. I didn't have to do anything other than step into my position as being next. This belongs to me. You go get your own. I'm getting in line. I'm tired of being on welfare. I'm tired of being on food stamps. I'm tired of this. I want to bless people. You know, we have an organization. We feed millions of people every year. We buy 50,000 pairs of new shoes, and we give them to kids that can't afford them. I don't have no fundraisers. We pay for it. Somebody said, why do you do that? Because I can. When the offering basket comes over, it's as simple as this. God knows what's in my wallet. I might fool you, but I ain't fooling him. God knows what's in my bank account. I got rich. Listen to me. I got rich off the offering plate. I didn't invest in Apple. I didn't invest in Wall Street. I invested in God's people. And when that plate comes around, don't you ever do this. When that plate comes around, that is not a donation. God doesn't need you to donate anything. That is an investment. You and I, brothers and sisters, when it comes to God, we don't donate. We invest, because that person is going to grow, and guess what? You're going to grow financially. Can I pray for them? Those of you who are a millionaire, new business is struggling, you know, remember the handkerchief. It went and healed people. I'm more than a handkerchief. My job is to convince you that I have it right here to release it. That's my job. I'm here spending the 20, 25 minutes to tell you, please take it. I don't want to go home with this anointing. Please take it. Please get in the line that God wants you to get into. Please receive it. For me, it's not just I'm going to go home. It's like, oh, I got to see somebody got it. I can't go back on the plane saying like, oh, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They're going to miss it. They're going to walk away the same way they came in, struggling to pay their rent, struggling to put food on the table. That's not the life you were intended for. You were intended to have everything. Just, I can't tell you how much I have. Now you're boasting. I am boasting. I'm boasting on what he did for me. I want to boast with you. Brother, sister, let God show off in your life. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray, lift up your hand. I pray for every hand that is here. First of all, Lord, I pray for those that don't know you. I pray, my God, that somehow you would touch their heart, that they seen you, that you would manifest yourself in a tremendous way, Lord. Father, and I pray, God, for the message that you gave me, that you told me to tell them to position themselves to be next. I'm praying, God, tug at their hearts, pull them into that position. Give them the strength and the power that they need, Father, to release everything that they want. Father, I pray right now that everyone in here, Lord, will be a millionaire for your glory. That everyone in this room will be into a position, Father, to write checks to the poor, to the needy. That this church will never, ever worry about a bill again. That this church will always be your house, God. Always be a place of refuge. A place that they could eat, God. I thank you so much that you gave me the opportunity to be here with them, Lord. And as always, I'm careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.